Hi, welcome to one of our Expert Insights discussions. This is part two of two episodes looking at the importance of controlling your hotel pricing, and more importantly, the impacts of not controlling it. In both episodes, we've been joined by Pablo Sanchez from Mirai, one of our expert partners. In part one, Pablo outlined how losing control of your pricing could mean hoteliers missing out on a potential 34% increase in bookings. In this episode, we change tack a little and look at possible medium to long-term implications of not addressing your hotel price competitiveness. The loss of booking increase is an obvious short-term potential loss, but looking further out, the challenges are more subtle, occurring slowly over time. In much the same way we see with the current climate crisis, with small temperature changes over the years, these small incremental missed opportunities could have a larger, more dramatic impact. You can't put your head in the sand, do the same thing, and expect a different outcome. That would be insanity. Really hope you enjoy this conversation.
As you say, it does take some effort, but
it does.
A lot of times, sometimes it's understanding that that effort will deliver some sort of outcome so even before your simulation, I mean, when I was just looking at the previous image, which was looking at, you know, just when you had the percentages of the increase in visibility, CTR, conversion, booking requests, I mean, just being in parity, which shouldn't in my mind seem to be a hard thing to be able to try and achieve. As a hotelier, I would imagine that should be relatively straightforward. I mean, that drove increased booking requests. It's driving increased conversions. I mean, I'm thinking I'm missing something.
Well, the thing is that it's a bit harder than what you think.
Okay.
Is it very easy to say controlling your distribution, mm-hmm. and it's much harder to make it because it all starts with revising your contracts, your partners, understanding what you have signed, the different fares you're distributing, the clauses, what you can actually ask them to do, mm-hmm. and afterwards to go into the not the passenger seats, but the customer's seat and make this survey from the angle and see the reality, not only in your home market, which is probably something you have more control, but also in the other markets that are bringing clients to you.
Yep.
For example, in Spain, we only have, at least in Mallorca, for example, we only have like 20% of domestic bookings. The majority of our bookings come from England, from Germany, from the Nordic countries, from France. So you have to go into those markets and see what happens over there.
Yep.
It's a different angle. And you need some tools. You need to gather a lot of data. And it's daily stuff. It's not just one shot. I say, okay, I just took a shot. I took a couple of actions, and that's it. It's all resolved. No, you have to be constant. It's actually a war with many battles, mm-hmm. and a daily follow-up. And if you do your homework and if you control it, and you are constant on it, maybe in a couple of months you can really achieve a controlling situation where you can achieve parity.
Is it something, when you're talking about, you know, many, many battles there, it sounds, and we're going to talk about the implications of not doing this in a moment, but it sounds like a lot of work. And back to our earlier point where I'm running a hotel, I enjoy being a hotelier. I don't want to be spending my time looking at data, focusing on parity. I can see everything you've said, but I'm getting the revenues in. I'm happy. And there'll be some people like that. You just say, okay, fine, not a problem. Is it something that it's kind of this, I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, if I imagine a graph that there's a lot of effort you need to put in at the beginning, but as you put more and more in over time, you can systemize, automate some of this. And so it the amount of effort that needs to put in, you go from a kind of getting it going, a bit like a car. When you're getting a car going and you're revving it up, there's a lot of, but then when you're cruising along, you know, the car's running a lot smoother, it's consuming less fuel.
There's a momentum.
Yeah, you get that momentum. Is that the same thing doing something like this? That you could almost say, yeah, for a couple of months, if you put that effort in, get the systems right, but then after a couple of months, you switch almost into a maintenance phase. Is that naive or is that true?
Oh, you're correct. It's just like that. You need to make an investment at the beginning of the process, maybe a couple of months working hard and maybe with the help of someone else inside of the organization or a third party, which can help you. And afterwards, once you have everything controlled, the maintenance is a much lower work.
Right, yes, right. Indeed. Okay.
But that's also applicable not only to this specific item that we just analyzed and are commenting, but also to the direct sales in general.
Yeah.
There's plenty of things that you need to work out and you need to put additional effort. Some of them are just an investment and then lower running maintenance costs. Some others require continuing the battles along the way.
Yeah.
Because commercializing is another... it's a whole dimension that requires focus, attention, resources, and work.
Yeah.
But it pays off.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So I guess then, and obviously, you know, you're here to talk about it. You guys are experts in it. You're advising and working with hotels. So naturally, you're going to have a vested interest in wanting to say to people, you should be investing in doing this. But, you'd be very good all the way through this not to be selling Mirai and what you're there about. So I appreciate that. But I think sometimes, you know, there may be a situation where people are watching or listening to this. They're looking at the images. They're thinking, okay, that's something I could be gaining. But back to our original point, I'm busy or we're full, rates are okay. Yeah. I'd like to do it, but it's always something, you know, we're all guilty of having something we really want to do and we don't have time. I'll do it next week. And then before we know it, we've moved that to-do task along. 6 months have gone by, 9 months have gone by, we still haven't got to it. So what I want to just get your insights into is that I'd like to touch on what are some of the maybe potential longer-term impacts, because it's very easy to see some of the short-term results, and you've demonstrated if you did this, this is what you could get. But that may not be enough of a reward to trigger the investment and the effort. But when we were discussing this conversation, you highlighted a number of areas, sort of four or five, maybe not so obvious implications that are more medium, longer term problems, challenges that could occur if you don't make that initial step. So I'd like to dive into those implications a little bit more that might not seem so obvious, but can occur over time. What would be like one of your headline, you know, flashing warning lights? If you don't do this, this is a potential path you could be walking down.
Actually, this conversation is not only based on this specific competitiveness item, but the direct sales in general. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of hotels that they are okay with their balance,
yep,
and just having the sales in their website that randomly come around and book on their site. They're not competitive and so on. So their share is very low.
Yeah.
They're just relying on third parties to distribute for the whole product and for their incomes.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay for the short term. And of course, you will have, for example, looking at now what is coming is the summer, you will have a good summer. You probably have some margin and that's enough for you to pay off a new car and so on and so on. But the thing is that we are in a competitive world and things change. As we have seen during the pandemic, they can change very fast. You know, the hotels that really could thrive through the pandemic with a better result and outcome were those that were controlling their revenues, their clients, their customers, their commercials. And that means getting focused on that and investing in it, and working on it. If you have, let's say, 30% or a third of your revenues are coming directly to you, and you know your customers, and you have a base of customer loyal customers, that helps you navigate the problems in a much better way than if you are just relying 95% on someone else that might have different interests. Today, maybe they're bringing customers to you. Tomorrow, maybe they decide to bring it to another hotel that has been built next to you, a much newer hotel with better prices, more facilities, and so on. So you're putting a risk on the table for the long term. And that's, for me, very important. I mean, I don't envisage any business where you don't control your revenues. That, for me, is a crazy equation.
It does seem weird, doesn't it?
Really is crazy for me. You know, any kind of business. You have a business, but you rely on someone else for your revenues. Mm. And all of a sudden, next year, all changes and you go bankrupt.
Yeah. Well, it's just like in retail, isn't it? We can walk down any street. The moment a new store comes along that is a competitor to you, you're going to be looking at what they're doing.
Exactly.
You don't just let it carry on blindly. I mean, one of the things that we see, and again, maybe I'm extrapolating this too far out, but you know, there's still a huge amount of investment into hotels. People still see that, even with all that is given, as a good area to invest money into. If you build a new hotel, or if you buy a building to convert, if I'm putting money into that, I'm going to be making sure there is a significant pot that I am going to put behind that to raise its awareness and make it be competitive, because I want to get a good start on generating bookings. So if I've got a new property and I'm now going to be using these distribution platforms as a way, because it's a great way of promoting and marketing the product while I'm, you know, while Google's doing its thing with my own website and my own efforts, well, I'm going to be making sure I'm not going to be the not lowest price. I'm going to want to make sure I am pretty competitive. My pricing is competitive, because for all the reasons that you've highlighted and shows in the images, that's what's going to increase my booking, and my requests and my, the booking requests and the conversions that you're talking about. So if I am a property and I'm not looking at this, and suddenly I've got a competitor has come into my market and they're putting money into this, and I guess they could be engaging with other promotional opportunities that the OTAs put out there, so they're going to have higher visibility, they're going to be seeming to be more competitive, everything is being stacked in their favor, and they're engaging with this proactively, which is just going to leave me further behind. I mean, you're in this space. Is that a reality?
That's reality, exactly. You got it. And it's not only a brand new property, it can be a refurbished one. Mm-hmm. We just decided to invest in the hotel and renew the hotel. Because, you know, if you build your hotel in the 80s, and we are already 2023, that has passed a long way. And you cannot just paint the hotel every year. Sometimes you just need to restructure the hotel and make a big changes, and that costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So in order to pay off that money, you need to get additional profitability, and you need to engage directly with customers so you can understand what to do, how to do it, and get a better net revenue, not with commissions from the distributors and so on. So maybe the profitability you're having as a standard hoteliers is okay. You're having, let's say, 25-30% EBITDA, but maybe that's not enough to renew your hotel every 4 or 5 years to really be competitive in the destination and be one of those that are advanced, that have understood the game and are taking profit of all the tools and platform available to get a better distribution, more profitable, and directly to customer, which is at the end what changes the outcome of the business.
And you use a word there, which is profit. And to me, that's, you know, that was really highlighted during the pandemic, and still to this day now with the cost of living crisis. You know, there is still this incessant focus on ADR and your rates. But at the end of the day, our staff is costing more, running the hotel is costing more. You know, if I mean, our contracts doesn't mean that we're paying more in terms of commission, but if someone else is driving their direct sales more proactively than we are, they're picking up through greater visibility and greater competitiveness, they're picking up increased bookings. That's an increased level of bookings that you could be getting, but you're now not getting. They're getting without the commissions associated with it. Whilst you're there with increasing costs, commissions being paid, reliance on a third party who could change their strategy. Well, to me, that is just, I just see my margins year on year on year are going to gradually, and it may only be 0.5% every year. But if in 10 years' time, my hotel margins are now 5% less than they were before, well, how am I investing in my property? You know, my property is now 10 years older. It might be looking a little bit more tired. I may be having to question some of the facilities we're offering. I mean, surely that's not just me in as a non-hotelier coming up with those scenarios. That must be a realistic scenario, isn't it?
I think so. I agree with you. So I think that the exercise here, if I was a hotelier, I would compare my profitability now and how has been the evolution in the last, let's say, 15 years. So if, as you say, the margins are gradually getting lower and lower, I need to do something, because otherwise the trend is the trend. And if I continue that line downwards, it will end up in a percentage that I cannot sustain the future of the hotel. And one day I will be in problems and I will have to, I don't know, sell the hotel, look for a solution.
Yeah, it just becomes a vicious circle, doesn't it? Because if you don't have the profitability to invest into the property starts to look tired, the reviews then get impacted. Then you start to operate against different properties who are maybe at a lower price. So then you're under pressure to lower your price. And so that then again cuts into your profitability. So it's one of these, it's just this slow creep. And I think this is what I wanted to touch on, because it seems very easy to say, oh, yes, I'll get to that in 6-9 months time or whatever, I'll have a look at it. But we all know it's just one of those things that could be pushed further down the track because it doesn't seem important at the moment. When it's the summer, my hotel is full, my rates are strong. But it's like, just, you know, project forward 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, look at the trends to where you were 5 years ago. What are the implications if those trends continue? And what are the implications on you maintaining a competitive position in your market? And if you can't, logically, you'll have to reduce your rates because your product is now no longer appealing. So you've got to use price as a way to appeal. And now you're eating into your margins even further. I mean, it just, it does. Anyway, right. I think we've covered the implications of it.
That's clear, I think.
What can we do? What are some of the things we could do if we say, yeah, okay, I've got it. Alarm bell's ringing. I need to do something about it. What can we actually do practically?
Well, I would suggest the hotels just to take, if they are participating in Google Hotel Ads, which most of them, I think, they will, or alternatively in Trivago or TripAdvisor, which is similar platforms, I would advise them to get the data, download the data, and start analyzing a similar thing what I did with 1,500 hotels, do it with their own data, understand how they are performing in the 4 different price categories. Mm-hmm. So when they are with a worst price or a parity, better price, or the only one shown, to see how they are performing on impression share, CTR, and conversions, understand what is the potential behind. Once they have understood their potential, I would advise them to start acting. So they have to study the distribution, see, locate where, in which scenarios, in which markets and travel dates and so on, they're not being competitive. There's someone else playing with the price and being lower than them. Locate the source of that distribution and try to fix it. Okay, maybe they have to close some contracts, maybe they have to renegotiate some other contracts, maybe they have to have some serious conversations with some of the distribution partners. Okay, but they can achieve it. It's a day-to-day work during several months, but they can achieve it. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're talking about competitiveness, but it's not always a price is the only factor that you can play with. Mm-hmm. They have to take advantage of being the owner of the product. And that means they can play with other stuff like the inventory or the room types or the boards. Maybe they can play with the different boards for one distribution channel or their own sales, their own direct sales, mm-hmm. which should always have an appeal to the end customer. Or the conditions, that's something they can also play with very easily, like the flexibility or the moment the end customer has to pay, if it's, you know, prepayment at the time of the booking, or maybe give them some additional days to think about it, or some cancellation flexibility, or maybe not refundability, but ability to change the travel date. Yeah. So they have plenty of options, and not only price options, but also conditions and product ability.
And that can be done so they could look to differentiate. So for instance, you know, a simple thing for me is that, okay, could I be able to check out a bit later? You know, I might have a late flight back to the UK with my family. It'd be great that I don't have to check out at 11 o'clock. If I could check out at 3 o'clock, be able to be there, have the room, exactly. use the yeah. facilities. So they could adjust the check-in and check-out for just people that book direct, for instance, and have standard check-in, check-out if people are coming through other districts. As a very simple example that could be easily done to incentivize. Yes.
Completely. The early check-in, late check-out are standard conditions that are usually offered in direct sales, so better conditions than the rest of the channels. Or you can also think on better prices through their loyalty club. Yep. That's also another option that is being offered quite a lot of times. Or some others think on upgrades, depending on their availability. Of course, they cannot maybe assure it because maybe they are fully booked. But if they can, they pick up the best valuable customers, which usually are in the direct sales channels, and they upgrade them to a better room type. It's not only about the strategy and then nailing it down to specific perks and so on. It's also communicating it when it's important. And when is it important? For example, in the meta search, which are at the end sort of storefronts, yep. online storefronts, you have tools where you can communicate all those things. So when the customer is there looking at the different options, they can see that you are the owner of the product and you will treat them very nicely, and you will actually give them better conditions at the other channels. So at the end, if there's a price parity situation, which we have seen that is a good scenario, they will still choose you because they will have a better stay with you because of all the rest of the conditions.
Perfect. Brilliant. Well, look, I found it fascinating, but then I like data. So the moment someone puts a table in front of me and then shows me what you can gain if you actually engage and make a few changes, I find is really, and the thing that struck me was just that I didn't even have to become the cheapest and stand out. You know, if I just got to parity and was keeping an eye on parity, the difference that made was, to me, it was like, wow, okay, that's like double. And so, you know, it's just the advantages almost spoke for themselves. So great that you guys did the survey. Really delighted that you joined us today to talk them through. And yeah, thanks again for your time. Been really, really fascinating conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Trevor. It was a pleasure.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Pablo for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.